Okay, Ramblers, let's get rambling.
Now where it is now, everybody wants a piece of the market.
Oh my God, that is funny!
I don't remember asking you a thing.
I'm funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you?
With all due respect, what the are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry, did I break your concentration?
What the is so funny about me? Tell me what's funny.
You represent the idiocy of today.
I did not know that.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Are you listening to me?
How's my shit together? Is my shit together?
Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant.
So that's it then. No one else really knows anything.
Well, on one page, Snatch and Jacks. I'm Tom Albrecht on the board. SP Futures up 45. NASDAQ Futures up 204. As Trump last night said there was a ceasefire in the Israeli-Iran fracas. But now this morning he's mad because they both have already violated the ceasefire. So, but the market seems to be okay with what happened. I guess once in a while you get to be right. And yesterday morning, I mean, we talked here at length about the thing, and I was of the opinion, of course, you know, my opinion is not, we used to say that in 25 cents get your phone call, is that this might be a one and done because it's happened before with Iran or Israel's hit them a couple of times, and everything kind of laid low for a few years until they came back, you know, and they never really got rid of their hatred or whatever, but it essentially was enough to send them to their corner for a while, and I thought maybe this would be the same thing, and it looks like maybe that is going to happen. There was somewhat of a response, but it was very muted, and evidently they told us the stuff was coming, and we shot them all down, so it wasn't exactly a huge response, but on their end, they said they could, I'm sure they say they could do something, so they saved some sort of face, and I think, you know, we pretty much, it's pretty much over, but unless it escalates again, which, you know, with Russia and China backing people, you never really know, but, so I'm not going to take a victory lap here on what I maybe thought might happen, but it looks like, Kyle, what do you think? I mean, that's what I was saying yesterday, because only because it happened before, not because I have any omniscience on this. I just thought it might happen again, and the market seems to be giddy over the whole thing. I'm not sure why that is, but...
I understand that entirely. The market has come to the conclusion that the entire thing, including the start of it, was fake and gay.
Well, that could very well be.
Here's why. Tokyo Rose, December 6th, 1941. Hello, all you wonderful people at Pearl Harbor. Tomorrow morning, we're going to blow up all your battleships.
Yeah.
Okay. Has anyone ever in a war done that?
Tokyo Rose said they were going to. Wasn't she from
Chicago?
Exactly,
well, but exactly where and when?
Yeah, well.
Nobody's ever done that before, right? And I mean, because you don't do that, duh. All the expensive, nice stuff that you don't want to get blown up, that gives you the time to make sure it's not there. and so they say, well, we're going to hit this, you know, we're going to hit this base in Gutter. We've got a bunch of stuff over there. I think maybe it won't be there in 12 hours because you said you're going to hit it tomorrow. As soon as I saw that, my opinion of the entire thing from the top down changed.
Well, it does have an odd ring to it. But you know what? If a person whose style I don't like very much, if he pulls this off, and then all of a sudden these guys stop shooting. There's been enough over there. Now the question is, how do you rebuild? How do you get those areas to be anything more than cesspools? I mean, how do you do that? The economics of it is the reason why it's happening is because of economics.
Yes.
If you blow the other side up and you don't fix the economics, then you're sort of right back where you started from.
Well, we caused this in the 1950s when we originally decided that we were going to make sure that British Petroleum didn't have their oil stuff expropriated when Iran had an election, and then the new government decided to nationalize the oil industry. And as a result of that, People don't seem to remember this. It was, you know, all right, it was 75 years ago, 70 years ago. But we did that, and we put the Shah back in. He, by the way, had lost. Okay, he was the guy that the Iranian people threw out.
Yep.
And when someone who's more or less a despot loses, you have to assume that there really was an election, that it wasn't rigged, because nobody rigs an election to lose, right?
Well, no.
Right. So, I mean, you have to assume that that was, you know, that there was probably some validity to that process. And then, okay, so we decide that because, and it wasn't even our oil company that had it done to them, it was the British, it was British oil company. And then we decide that we know better than them, and we're going to put that back in place. And of course, the economic stuff that came with that when he was returned to power was a bunch of stupid things that were done, and ultimately that led to the Iranian Revolution and the crazy Muslims taking control of government, which remains to this day.
Well, we transported the Ayatollah back there, didn't we?
Yeah, we were responsible for essentially all of this, and you know, then of course, you know, our hostages got taken out. But we caused it didn't happen in a day. It wasn't like we did it and tomorrow the bad thing comes, right? I mean, but we're responsible, and of course we never take responsibility for things like this. And now you have, I mean, the reality is that Muslims and Jews have hated each other for as long as there have been both Muslims and Jews, right? I mean, you don't have to like that, it's just the way it is. And so, but this particular so-called conflict, you know, as I've pointed out, the premise of all of this is Iran must never have a nuclear bomb. Iran has had a nuclear program for non-weapons purposes for decades. And every single nation that has ever run a nuclear reactor for non-weapons purposes, whether it be for medicine, you know, I mean, would you like to have radiation therapy available for cancer, for example? Well, guess what? You need to make the radiation sources. You know how you do that? You do it with a reactor.
Yep.
Would you like to use...
Nobody knows that, Carl. Nobody cares.
I mean, you know, they just magically appear out of nowhere, right? But, you know, you want to have this for cancer treatments. By the way, we'd also like to use atomic power for electricity. It happens to be a, you know, the nice way to make a tea kettle. The energy for a tea kettle is basically what it is. And... you know, we'd like to do that too. Well, if you do either of those things, or you're doing research of various sorts, particle research, anything that involves this, you are inherently generating tons of nasty radionucleotides that are dangerous for tens of thousands of years. They're the same radionucleotides that get generated when there's a nuclear explosion. The difference is when there's a nuclear explosion, the thing that causes them to be generated lasts for a tiny fraction of a second, and only the stuff that actually reacts becomes the source of those radionucleotides, which is very little, really, when you get down to it. A reactor produces all that crap all the time it's on, and it's still there, and there's an ungodly amount of it, and other than the fact that you can't personally handle any of it, because of course it'll kill you if you get anywhere near it. Putting that stuff in a conventional weapon, a conventional shell, and shooting it at somebody is going to do way more damage than getting blown up by a Hiroshima-style bomb. Okay, and proof of this is the fact that there's people living in both Hiroshima and Nagasaki right now.
Did you ever see, and I don't know how the hell they got these pictures, were you ever a fan of the X-Files?
Really, but I saw, you know, parts of it, but I never was really much of a follower of it.
They had some interesting shows, but the most interesting one was, it might have been their last show or their last double show before they got, somebody got some pictures of Hiroshima after the blast.
Yeah.
And of some of the people going to, like, the medical centers.
Yeah.
If you were next to a wall... the light, the heat emblazoned your picture on the wall.
Yeah.
And the people going to these centers, nobody had eyebrows, nobody had eyelashes, nobody had hair.
Right.
They were all bleeped up. I mean, it was how they got those pictures out of the archives, I have no idea. I haven't seen them before or since, but they were on like the last episode of the X-Files.
Oh, yeah. It's, I mean, don't get me wrong. What happens is not good.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't try to minimize that in any way, because it isn't. But the reality of it is that there's the immediate effects, which are also really bad if somebody drops a huge FAE bomb on top of you too. All right.
Yeah.
I mean, if you get incinerated, I'm sure you're not going to have a good day. But never mind, all the oxygen gets sucked out of the environment. So if you don't get incinerated, you suffocate. But we have horrible, horrible munitions of various kinds. You know, cluster bombs, mines. You know,
it's an amazing. I mean, the thing they dropped, the blockbuster. You know, I don't know if you had a chance to read that thing I sent. Once in a while, I'm sending you guys somebody's little articles from Quora. Not so much that I believe all of them necessarily, but I actually I was accused the other day of. Because I even read stuff like that, that is a different point of view, it makes me a stupid Democrat, is the insult.
What?
I got. Yeah. But I even look to see on my own what the research is instead of just believing.
Oh my God.
The mandate side or the magna side.
Oh,
I was accused.
Okay.
Yeah, it was not a good conversation, but that's what I was accused of. But there was a guy, and I honestly, you know, Carl, the more you do the show, the more you listen to you and other guys on the show, the more you realize what you don't know, the more you learn.
Yeah.
I've learned more doing the show than I ever have, and yet the more you realize you don't know. And this article had all to do with a pretty serious history of the last kind of many hundred years in what is now Israel.
Yeah.
And the guy talked about there's been plenty of times for 50-100-year segments where the Jewish people and the Muslim people live fine side by side.
Yeah.
In two different churches, one next to each other. And there was never a conflict, there was never anything. So his point is this whole idea now that it has to be this very pure Jewish state where everybody else has to be outside and where you can't, I mean, Gaza can't be part of Israel, you know, or the West Bank can't be part of the government, can't be part of anything, can't be part of any of the whole thing. He says, that's just insane. That's the modern day point of view of like a few people. He goes,
well, it's the same thing. The ultra Orthodox that have turned to run all this settlement stuff.
Yeah,
it's a tiny fraction of the population. Okay, when you really get down to it, I mean, maybe not so tiny, but it's kind of like saying, the black people ruin America. Okay.
Yeah,
well, you know, 17%, like 17% of the population has African American heritage. Okay. How about the other 80-ish, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same kind of thing there, and but the wing nuts.
I have no idea how I'd put that back in place. I'm just saying, it's not like it couldn't. The guy's point was, it's not like it couldn't be different. You know.
Of course it could, but the thing is, people have to want it to be.
Well, what did Bobby Kennedy say at John Kennedy's funeral? I mean, he didn't look at things that as they are and say why. He looked at things that weren't there and said why not. It's a whole different point of view. You know, why couldn't? I mean, right now it's not going to happen. But I sat back and I'm going, what is everybody fighting about? the religions. In some way, they're not. I won't say they're similar, but some of the. I mean, what's the difference between halal and kosher? It's the same thing. Those are meat handling rules for people who live in hot weather, right?
Well, yeah. I mean,
pretty much, right?
My thing with this is that when I saw this whole thing kick off, okay, and the predictions were apocalypse now. Specifically in the oil market, right? And then everybody sticks their 2 cents in, and China has some planes coming over there, and their cargo 747s. What the hell's in there? Who knows? You have, you know, Medvedev that's basically said, well, you know, somebody might hand these guys a little special firecracker style surprise. And Pakistan even went so far as to say, yeah, we might. Okay, and Pakistan has nuclear weapons, and by the way, they also have a land border with Iran.
But that, now, when somebody says, I always have to ask this question, they have nuclear weapons, are they sitting in a garage? Do they have a bomber that can get them someplace? Do they have a missile that can get them someplace?
Pakistan does, yes.
They have a missile. It's not, I mean, these Iranian missiles, for those that don't, I mean, I know where else will we need them, but they're the stuff we have of various degrees. You set the thing off, and then you can send it right to, like, somebody's house. It's guided after the other missiles. I mean, I didn't do rocket scientists when I was in college, but some guys did. A ballistic missile, you shoot the rocket up, you get it on the right trajectory, you think, and then it's powerless after that. So if there's wind, if there's whatever happens, it's going to go
off.
Well,
that's the difference between a rocket and a missile.
Yeah.
A rocket is not guided. A missile is guided.
That's what I'm saying. That's why these are, what Iran has is essentially rockets.
No, that's no longer true. Now, the last
they have one new type of which they had, well, someone, I was reading this whole list, they can go 2,500 miles, but they don't have many of those.
Well, we saw during this, you know, this volley back and forth, them launch things that were two-stage, which by itself is in and of itself rather interesting, because that's new.
Yep.
Okay, we didn't think they had that. But in addition, the second stage had guidance. Now,
but they don't have the satellite guidance. They don't have any.
No, they don't have the kind of they don't have the kind of precision we do. Not even close. Okay, they're not a peer nation in terms of being able to, you know, hit my house.
Yeah.
Right. Right. But the thing is that, what, you know, the last time this kind of thing happened, essentially what they were shooting it was scuds.
Yeah, they were like enhanced scud, which level it might hit the base, it might hit you in the head.
Yeah, for all intents and purposes, they're rockets. They're like big mortars, okay? They have actual guided weapons now. Now, precisely how many they have, you know.
I was reading this whole list. Some go 2,500 miles.
Yeah.
Some go 1,800 miles, and then some are big.
Those are ballistic weapons,
yeah.
and they are nasty because they're very hard to intercept. And rockets are much easier, and on top of that, they're inaccurate to begin with. So, you know, I mean, if you're off by, you know, you've got a 200-pound shell, and you're off by half a mile.
If you're the guy living half a mile for the base they're aiming at, that's not good for you.
Well, it's not good for you, but it doesn't destroy what they're shooting at. You know, I mean, it does a lot of damage, just not, you know, not really focused where they want it. But they have guided stuff now, and that is one of the things that has changed from the last time that there was a dust up.
Do you think? Think they bought that from like the Koreans or somebody?
You know, here's one of the things.
God, all this stuff has got to be on the market someplace.
Chief, okay, but remember, it wasn't all that long ago that we had what we thought was a unjammable, inertially guided drone that they captured. Okay, and I don't know if you remember this, but I
actually vaguely, yeah.
Yeah, I remember this quite well. We had what we believed was, you know, the ability to basically do surveillance and stuff like this over Iran, right? You know, I mean, the kind of thing that the nations do to one another from time to time. And we're doing this, and all of a sudden the thing basically aborts and lands on their territory in one piece. Okay, it doesn't self-destruct because it's been tampered with or whatever. It actually lands, and they captured it. Well,
this is like the Japanese Zero that landed, crashed almost without harm on the Aleutians that we learned.
Well, it was
from, yeah.
Well, they now exactly how they pulled this off, the, you know, our guys have never admitted, but the presumption has to be that, number one, they were able to spoof the GPS, and then secondly, they were able to confuse the inertial nav unit that's in those things and essentially convince that it was at its own base. And so it landed, you know, it landed thinking that, you know, hey, everything's fine, I'm home. Guess what? You're not. And they stole it. Well, okay, now you get to take it apart because it's in one piece. And, you know, look, don't don't think these guys are just a bunch of camel jockeys.
I've known
no brains.
I've known five people from Iran. Of course, they couldn't wait to get out of there. But every one of them has an advanced degree, engineer, hospital worker, something like that. Probably, well, it's a small sample. But I'd say five of the nicest people I've ever met. It's absolutely, they can't go back because the one guy's an engineer. He said he'd never get out. But I mean, talk about, again, small sample.
Chief, Janet Tavakoli, who basically wrote the book on credit derivatives, was married to an Iranian.
Really?
Yeah. She lives in Chicago still.
Okay, well, that's cool. And
that is one very smart woman.
Plus, don't ever call them Arab. They're Persians.
Yeah, they're Persians.
Not that anything's wrong with being an Arab, but here, just for giggles here, if we talk about close the Strait of Hormuz first, I'm not sure exactly how they would do that, but
that's easy.
Well, nothing's easy.
The channel's quite narrow. If you sunk a ship in there, there'd be big trouble.
You need more than one ship. But anyway, here's the part of Saudi Arabia. This is in first quarter of 2025, so a few months ago. Saudi does 5.3 million barrels a day.
Yep.
Emirates 1.8. Yep. Iraq 3.2, which I was stunned at. Kuwait 1.4. Qatar 0.6. Iran 1.5. So it's like Iran's biggest route to China too. So they'd be kind of cutting off their own nose. I don't think they have any other ports down the road, and I don't think they have pipelines to get there. So, and the other 0.3, so it's Saudi, Iraq, Iran, and Kuwait that come through there. Well, the Emirates are 1.8, so they're all pretty much. That's a lot of oil per day.
Yeah, it is.
So, I mean, just so you know, if that's what would be harmed by doing that, I don't know how much. Some of these places, they're right. They don't have another coastline. The Emirates or Kuwait or Qatar, so they'd be up basically bleep creek without a paddle. Saudi's got some stuff on the other side. If they get the oil over there or not, I don't know. Iran, I think, would be shooting their own self in the foot.
I'll tell you what I think is rather interesting. This problem has been there, basically forever, right? Because of where those straits are. Okay. And that navigation channel is a lot narrower than you think it is.
The actual strait looks pretty wide, but you're right, the channel is not.
The channel is very narrow, and on top of that, it's got a very sharp bend in it because of just the way the land is there, right? So, I mean, if you manage to screw that up, it's going to be bad news. But here's the thing. Dubai is on that peninsula that juts up into there, right? Okay, those guys have more money than God, right? I mean, if you think about it. Seems to me that, not too far north of there, there's not a whole lot of stuff that people care about. I mean, there's land there, but it's not Dubai anymore. All right, so maybe someone can explain to me why these guys haven't done a Panama Canal-style thing right through that piece of land. And then, told the Iranians and anybody else that wants to play with the straits to go stick it.
A canal for those size ships, pretty big undertaking, but...
Well, I'm not saying it would be easy, I'm saying, again, we're talking about a nation that has more money than God, right?
I think, let's put it this way, at the risk of being accused of what I was being accused of, probably takes any of the listeners, takes only a couple of minutes. Get out your Google and, or whatever you're using. Just look at a map of the area. Most people who have huge opinions have never even looked at a map of the place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's...
I mean, why would you? Just watch Newsmax and think what they think, right?
And the thing that gets me is that, if you look at where Iran is, all right, I mean, in order for either they or Israel to screw with the other, right, they're separated by about 1,000 miles.
1,100. And if you want to drive it, it's 1,300. That would be a nice drive, huh?
Well, yeah, but you're going to have to cross a bunch of other people's land.
Which one of us gets to drive, and which one of us has to man the machine gun on the back of the Toyota pickup truck?
Well, because you got to go through, you know, Iraq or Kuwait or Saudi Arabia, Jordan,
Syria,
Turkey. You could go through Turkey and then across the water. I mean, you know, you could do it. That's an option. But there is no. It's not like these guys share a border, right?
No, they can
just go ahead and have a war, you know, across a line in the dirt.
Well, you know, one of the one thing political here I'll kind of lob out is that because our fearless leader has gone and done this, and you know what? If it works, but now this morning he's pissed off at the Israelis for breaking the ceasefire.
He's pissed off at both of them.
But does he think because we did this and he took huge credit and blah blah the greatest thing ever? Does he think all of a sudden now he's in charge of these two countries that they're going to do what he tells them to do?
If he thinks that, he's out of his mind. But
I have a feeling that's where he's at.
Well, it might be, and you know the other thing that goes with that, which I think is kind of interesting about this, is that there's the old thing: you touch it, you own all the pieces. When it goes wrong, right?
Yep.
And so one of the comments that I made in another forum on this thing is that, okay, now that Trump has stuck his nose in this.
He stuck our nose in it.
He stuck our country's nose in it, right, whether we like it or not. This either gets him a huge gold star next to his name if it works out.
He either gets a peace prize or he's the part that goes over the fence last.
He gets the black star,
yeah.
and he's the devil for all mankind, especially if this thing turns into somebody, you know, deciding to do something really nasty, whether it's there or whether the retaliation comes here. And one of the things that is a real consideration is that for the previous 4 years, we had essentially an open, unknown number of people that came into the United States, and we have no idea who they are or where they are. And I mean, these are all the gotaways. China's had a bunch of them too.
We gotta let go in here. Kenny's not come by, so we'll see in a bit. But, my opinion yesterday happened to be hopefully still right for the first time in my life. I think that the danger is in other places, not there. I think it's in China and Russia. And people looking at us going, we can't trust these people, which they never.
Well, I do. Yeah, I think there's a huge problem when it comes to, you know, when it comes to the potential trouble out of China related to this, that's going to be extremely nasty. And the reality of the situation is that I'm way, you know, China is a much bigger problem, and we still don't want to confront any of that. Well, North Korea is to some extent, yeah, definitely.
Anyway, SP Futures up 48, NASDAQ Futures up 231. Be right back. Joel and Kevin.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end...
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. As you all know, the broad markets, especially tech, have been hot for a while. Lots of reasons. New technology, small fixed income returns, a lot of fake cash, maybe some good management. Recently, however, the rates on fixed income investments, even U.S. Treasury, have risen from the very low levels. Treasuries are more attractive. There might even be some interesting bonds out there. Also, the bull run has some leading stocks with historically high valuations, maybe making long-only positions a little riskier. So what to do? I think the answer is flexibility. The market may keep going higher. It may not. It could even go down. Is fixed income a thought for some part of the portfolio? Rates are not zero anymore. You may want to protect some gains. Think about some rebalancing. Address some growing concentration issues. Maybe thinking about commodities. We at PTI may have a solution just right for you. Open an account at PTI Pro Direct, PTI's online trading platform using the Interactive Broker high-end platform. There you'll find competitive rates and solid execution across all product lines and traditionally high interest on money balances. In addition, at any time you can seamlessly decide for fixed income investments to access Dan Janitas at Kratos Capital for management services. Dan and his team work tirelessly to achieve the highest returns they can, whatever risk category you are comfortable with. You can also quickly access my team for investment services and a wide array of investment strategies on the security or commodity side. Protective strategies, concentration issues, or straight long. In one place, you'll be able to be flexible and ride whatever the future market holds with people you are used to hearing and trusting every day. Need help? You got it. Don't need help? That's okay, too. You'll have a great self-management platform with help always available. This market can change on a dime. I believe, like everyone else, having the right people there if needed is the way to go. call me at 312-663-4310 or email me at time@ptisecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. Ricky on the board. Just as we've been doing the show, the ceasefire was in effect, and then Trump wasn't happy with Israel, and then he says, now, okay, the Israel planes that were going to head to Iran have turned around and come back because he was unhappy with me. Oh, boy, the hits just keep on coming here. S&P futures up 44. They're still up high. They were up 51. The NASDAQ futures up 217. I think they were up 250 when we came in. Dow futures up 261. Individual stocks at Goldman Sachs up 5. IBM up 270. IBM's been strong, kind of war with or without. Salesforce up 220. Everything's up. This is my new bellwether. I'm going to ask Joel about this, about what's going on with wars. Is American Express, if it looks like there's not going to be a war, it goes flying up. If it looks like there is, it goes flying down. I guess travel would be one of the biggest things that would hit. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 400. It's 1.7%. FTSE up 24.3. I don't see any joining the party. Kekaran up 81.07. Over in Asia, Nikkei up 436, 1.1%. Hang Seng up 487, 2%. Shanghai up 38, that's even 1%. Even Shanghai is moving on this. Bonds unchanged, 4.23. The blend up 5 basis points, 2.55. That's a pretty big move for those guys with us unchanged. Oil, and oil got clobbered yesterday. It's down another $1.84, down to 66.67. I think it traded 77 last Tuesday. Boy, if you sold that one down to here, you did well. If you bought it up there, not so hot. Gold, down $55. Nobody wants gold today. $33.39. It's still up pretty high, but not anywhere near the top. Silver down 11 cents, $36.07. We've got the foreign exchange. This should be interesting. Well, actually, the pound, or the euro's up to 116, so the dollar's getting clobbered. British pound is 136, so the dollar's going down, but the market's going up. It's kind of strange. Crypto, 2,300, 105,000, 354. Three, and I want to talk to Carl about that when he comes back on, because I had a conversation last night with somebody about it. We got for traffic, weather, sports, Cubs, no good.
Morning, Chief. It's currently 6:37 here in Chicago. Beautiful Chicago. 79 degrees right now with a high of 88. Partly sunny and warm today. A heavy thunderstorm this afternoon, which can bring localized damaging wind gusts. Tonight will be humid with a stray thunderstorm as well with a low of 67 degrees. Phoenix, Arizona, 78 degrees right now with a high of 104. Plenty of sunshine throughout the day, and tonight will be remaining clear with a low of 76 degrees. Traffic in Chicago. Emma Kennedy from Monroe, 25 minutes. Among Indians from Lane Cook, 41 minutes. Eisenhower from Wolf, 34 minutes. Dan Ryan from 95th, 17 minutes. And lastly, inbound Stevenson from 24 to the Dan Ryan, 26 minutes. NBA Finals, Oklahoma Thunder win NBA Finals against Pacers, 103-91. Diamondbacks obliterate White Sox yesterday 10-0, and Cubs lose to Cardinals as well 2-8. But today there's a chance for redemption for Chicago teams. We got Diamondbacks at White Sox 6:40 p.m. and Cubs at Cardinals at 6:45 p.m. Back over to you guys.
The Sox might be beyond redemption.
Maybe, man.
Do we have Joel?
Yes, we do.
How you doing, Joel?
Give me a second. I think he's muted.
Unmute thyself. Joel's probably the guy who sold the top on the oil last Tuesday. He's just good enough to do that, I think.
Don't ask me about the war.
No, I'm going to say, how did you do on that? Your shorting of oil at 77 last Tuesday.
Man, oh man, I wasn't buying it.
I would have thought you would be selling the top, man, with your finger on the pulse of the market.
That's my problem, Chief. I'm always selling the market. If I could be as bullish as I am bearish, I'd be on a big yacht. I don't know where it's a safe place to be on a yacht nowadays, but Chief, I am just so perplexed by this market. I just don't know what to say. I have opinions on geopolitics, I have my religion. I just so conflicting here. I just don't know where this market.
The good news, Joel, is you're not alone.
Oh, yeah, I am. Yeah. Okay, all right. I'm not alone, but, wow, that's all I can say.
I'm going to lob one at you here. Today's actually a
lob one up day?
A big day for a dude like me, a monetary guy. Today we actually get the money supply numbers for, I think, I don't think it's even May. Is it like April or something we get them? It's like a month behind, which is so insane. If they match the Rays last month, which is an 8.1% on a yearly basis, this is what, for a long period of time, Joel, I did not... When I got in the business, I was a neutral spreader. Markets went up, markets went down. The idea was to play volatility. Volatility was low. You put back spreads on, you know, because then you did well if it moved. If it was very high, you put verticals on, which was money coming to you. Way too complicated for me to explain right now. And because markets, you know, even though we might have some up years and down years, pretty much on any given day, the market might be up, it might be down. So I did that for probably 7-8 years for myself and clients. And I just got getting clobbered. Every year we would go up. And as a monetarist, I don't understand why I didn't realize at the time that somehow or another these guys were putting money in the market every friggin' year more than the growth of the economy. They were growing money supply 5-6% when the economy was growing 1.5% maybe. So it took every asset price and just drove it up. They're the economy thing. So it never was any kind of a neutral market, and I was still, you know, trading the old time game. And now the last few years I've learned these guys, it's not what you and I think it is. If they come in with another 8% year over year monthly growth rate on the money supply, I don't care what happens. The market, all the stuff is going to go up. And the only thing that's going to save us, when I say save us, stop it, is someday there's going to be an honest CPI number that says, hey, you idiots, the inflation is 1% a month. Because right now, everybody is giddy about this. You think the people that sold the Lakers for a $10 billion thing are upset with the policy of the last 20 years? Yet if you look at anybody you know who's in middle America, who isn't anymore, and they look at their wages that are worth probably half of what they were 10 years ago, 15 years ago, compared to what they're buying, they're getting obliterated. It's all in one spot, and it just goes right in the market all the time. It has nothing to do with valuation. I had a conversation last night. I was going to say for Carl, the guy said his buddy has been in Bitcoin, and he had a couple of them, and he got out early. And he's saying the money's in the system. The drug companies, the illegal drug people that have all kinds of political power, this is their... They not only are making money on drugs now, they're making money on Bitcoin. And so many people are so into this that it can never go down. And I said, even what if it's worth nothing? It's a fake stock. It doesn't matter. It'll never go down because the money keeps pouring in and people keep supporting it. And I'm sitting there going, I'm not so sure the guy's not right. But you know what, Joel? That's not you and me, but that's today. Did I bore the hell out of you there?
Well, I don't know. I can't find any flaws in what you're saying.
I find all kinds of flaws in what's happening, but not what I'm saying. I mean, it's...
Yeah. There's just so many things going on right now. I mean, you covered the money supply, you covered the Fed, you covered Bitcoin, geopolitics. It just in valuations, it's just things don't matter until they matter. And now at this point, valuations are just, they don't matter. Wars don't matter. Civil unrest doesn't matter. It's just the market, and I said this to my buddy Dennis that I do the show with. I said, the market is rigged to the upside.
Sure,
you know,
sure it is.
And this is from a very conservative investor, probably underinvested in the market, you know, for over the years, but able to withstand 20% down years, not fully participating in the 20-25% up years, not in the hot IPOs. I just look at this as just like such a gift. And then, you know, I said that, maybe I said that 200-300 points ago on the S&P. You know, like, hey, if you sat through the market and you saw it at 4,800, this is a gift.
Yep.
This is a gift. And then it's just a gift that just keeps on giving. So I think if you get the rug pulled on you this time, and what we've seen over the years, then it's no one's fault but your own.
Well,
and what the most important thing that you said at the beginning is that you did something for a long time and it stopped working. And it stopped working, you readjusted, and you started with a new strategy. Right now, you just have to, you know, you have to adjust. You know, the trading these momentum stocks, hey, if you're good at it, you don't want to go on straight up good, because they're going to turn and they're going to go, you know, straight down, and you're going to get caught. You just have to stay in your lane.
But if you were
just stay in your lane, and it's so easy. Everyone's going by you in Ferraris and Teslas and all, and you're just sitting there going to speed limit in your lane, using your turn signals, you know, parking your car by yourself. Just stay in your lane, because once you get out of your lane, you're gonna get smacked.
Well, if you and I had some snipe with us, and you and I someday foolishly even talked about like Microsoft valuation, which for a company that size to me is so high it's scary. Maybe in Meta, not as bad actually, but some of these places, Tesla, I mean, for God's sake, the thing's up $100, all because we're all going to have non-driving taxi cabs. I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, if somebody had any smarts, he'd look at the two of us and say, why are you two old farts wasting your time? Bitcoin's an artificial stock. It's not even a stock. There's no valuation. Look what it's doing. Why are you worried about valuation? I mean, and I will. And again, I'm not. I'm just pointing out facts to people. I mean, the Weimar Republic, the day the thing went under, I think the market was on its high. It never corrected. They kept pouring more money into the system. I don't think the Argentinian market's down in Argentinian currency. I don't think the Venezuelan one either, or Turkish. It's not about the stocks, it's about the dollar in your pocket going down and down every day. And if you don't have something that's running up with it, an asset, you're screwed. If you're in a bank getting 1% interest and the inflation rate's 5, guess what? You're down 4. And these are harsh realities, aren't they?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's places you can get a little bit more.
A little bit more now, but over the last 10 years, if Papa Joel, who's very conservative, put $1 million in the bank 10 years ago, what's his $1 million worth? Half?
Yep.
If maybe 600,000 to be charitable.
Yep.
Surely not $1 million, is it?
Yep. Okay, Chief. I wish I had more to say. I'm just perplexed here at the market. Let's hope these ceasefires are a little bit more than what we're seeing on the surface. So,
what have you headed out to Vegas and put a half a mil on your Tigers?
No, man, worried about the pitching. You know, we're worry wards here. So, just hunkering down here, enjoying the heat, and that's all I got for you this week.
Well,
when
everybody goes in there with the instructions to throw it as hard as you can for a whole inning, don't care if you get hurt. Why would you worry about getting hurt?
All right, Chief.
All right, take care, bud.
As always, go blue.
Do we have Carl?
You do.
I got a question for you, question, and I also had other questions for you. Did you happen to see the College World Series?
No.
I always look at how the difference between, like, taking care of people, whether you're paying them a boatload or not. The LSU pitcher, I'm assuming he's graduating, but I don't know that. In the second to the last game, it was 130 pitches or 129 or something.
Oh, man.
Yeah. You know what? Here's a trivia question you'll never find anywhere else. How many pitch? Remember Kerry Wood?
Yeah.
A terrific pitcher on the Cubs, and he went to the Yankees. Terrific guy. Lived two blocks from me. He's hang out in the same bar.
Okay.
Real nice guy. Get all this. Our buddy Dr. J, Kerry Wood was a little older than some of the younger guys on the team, and so whenever they were on the road, the wives would all get together and watch the game at Kerry Wood's house. His wife was a real nice lady. It was kind of a den mother. Dr. J used to get the dog and walk up and down the block while they were all unloading. He goes, every one of them was a 10. that wouldn't surprise you, would it?
No.
they're all petting the poor dog, and everybody was happy, let's just say that. two things. One is the Bitcoin piece that I was talking about, and the other, I was gonna play this thing from Boston Legal. Matt was gonna do it yesterday, and he did. I don't know if Ricky's got it over there, but it's kind of a funny spoof of Danny Crane, William Shatner. You know, he's mentally kind of touched. I'm talking about the Supreme Court, and it's funny. Maybe we'll play it tomorrow. But it's funny, but it's They asked him about the Constitution. And again, I don't want to go through word for word, but he goes, the Constitution is nothing more than the Supreme Court says it is. And the Supreme Court says what the president who stuck him there says wants him to say. He goes, that's your Constitution. And I'm sitting there going, it was funny because his delivery is terrific. But it's exactly true. And my question to you is, I mean, this is maybe, I asked John Flanagan yesterday, and, you know, I mean, and well, what, who decides whether something that's a tremendous change from what you and I can read in the Constitution, who decides whether it needs to be an amendment or not? For instance, we thought the 14th Amendment was there, right? We needed, for that matter, the First Amendment, the Second Amendment.
Right.
Why not just pass a law saying everybody has free speech and the president signed it? I mean, when you sign something in the Constitution, tariffs are the sole discretion of Congress. And by the way, so is declaring war.
Right. The war situation is especially egregious in many of these cases. But here's the other thing.
Okay, but what I'm saying, the question is, then wander off if you want. But the question is, they give somebody the War Powers Act. I'm sure there's been a few. And you've given the president discretion to act like in emergency situations. Right. Well, the first thing any president's going to do, especially this guy, you know, we're in war against all bad guys everywhere. we're war against terrorists everywhere. We're war against anybody who doesn't look like us anywhere. Whatever you want to define it, somebody can always define a war you're always in, which essentially takes the power right away. Now, that to me is strong enough to be an amendment. Now, tariffs the same way. If somebody lobs a tariff on you tomorrow, does it have to go through Congress? Which, by the way, Congress can act pretty fast if they want to. Do you have to go through Congress to get the tariff risen? Now you're going to give presidencies somewhat of authority, so you pass a law. Well, guess what? We now have a guy who's decided Congress isn't going to be part of it. Now, how is that not an amendment rather than just a law that somebody takes total advantage of?
Well, so one of the things that we haven't dealt with is that much of the immediate response kind of powers and the timelines that are set for, you know, the War Powers Act is a formal law, okay?
Yeah, but that's something to me is strong enough that every state should have to ratify that.
Well, okay, but here's the thing. Trump complied with it in both letter and spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
Somehow we still have Joel on here, Ricky. You're going to snip him off somehow.
Yes, sir.
I think we should.
So he complied with that both in letter and spirit, in that he was required to transmit to Congress what he was doing and why he was doing it as a formal document, and he did so. And actually, you can find it.
I know, but it's not the same as what it says.
I get that, but here's the thing. You go all the way back to Washington. When he went after the Barbary Pirates, he did it under this rubric that as Commander-in-Chief, he had the authority to do it. So it goes all the way back to the first president of the United States, for crying out loud. But there is a difference, a very significant difference.
The pirates are on the water messing with international shipping. It's not the same as attacking a country.
However... He essentially, quote unquote, went to war against them, right? Which, under the Constitution, is a congressional prerogative.
Well, I mean, but cities go to war against drug gangs all the time. I mean, I'm saying,
using the United States military,
I get it. Okay,
is the delineating thing, right? Okay, so he used the Navy. That's the military.
Well, that's actually the only military that is approved in the Constitution, right?
On a standing basis.
Yeah.
So the requirement is you can't have standing armies. Of course, we ignore that because it's inconvenient. But the Navy can be perpetually authorized, and that's the only branch in the Constitution. But one of the anachronisms we have not dealt with is that it used to be that if Congress was out of session, you wanted to convene them, well, they had to get there by stagecoach or horse or, the idea.
Did you ever read? I thought I sent it to you. How long it took Jefferson to get from his home in Virginia to Washington was like 3 days or 4 days, wasn't it?
The idea that you could have that you could recall Congress and convene them in 24 hours, which is true today. Okay, no matter where they are, was a laughable thought 250 years ago, right? Today, So a lot of these timelines that exist in not just in the Constitution but also in statutes came out of this anachronism that that we violated by essentially shrinking the size of the world, if you will, because we have jet airplanes and things like this. So that kind of stuff, we kind of need to go through and have a cleanup on, right? I mean, and that gets abused by administrations on both sides of the aisle.
Oh, I'm not saying I'm just trying to get, if there is one, of course, you're not a lawyer, but sometimes we can both talk like one. And you take the other side of your own argument, which I know I do myself once in a while. Simple fact is, why couldn't you just pass a law saying we're not going to have slavery anymore if the guy signed it? Why do we need an amendment for that? And yet, now all of a sudden we don't need an amendment for the president to just. I mean, where I'm at with this.
I'll tell you where the differentiation is.
Carl, all revenue bills are supposed to be in the House.
Yes.
And whether or not this tariff ends up to be a good idea or not, time will tell. Just like the bombing we just did. Time will tell, but the fact is, it's the largest tax increase this country has ever had, and it didn't come close to being in Congress.
And that to me is an issue.
I mean, to me it is.
And so far, despite all the claims that it would cause immediate consumer felt inflation, it hasn't happened.
Well, according to who? According to them.
According to the price you see on the shelf.
Where?
Where would you like to look?
You don't think pasta's up 20%?
I don't. Since Trump's changes in tariffs?
Yeah, at least 10% in the last 2 weeks.
You know what? The largest impact was supposedly going to be, and was, from the published schedule, on places like China and things like this, okay? And I can tell you, I just put my form back on with the contributor program, so I had to buy some hardware to upgrade some things. It was a forced purchase because the capacity I had was insufficient to do it, okay? So I had to buy some equipment.
Okay, a lot of the stuff was rushed here beforehand.
Guess what? A lot of it wasn't, too, right? And I mean, I have my finger on a pulse of this stuff all over the place. Video cards, discs, this kind of computer equipment. I can tell you right now, the impact thus far has been zero.
Okay, somebody paid, and when you say that, again, we both do these small surveys. Somebody's paid what, $70 billion in tariffs or 80?
Who paid it? Well, look, I look at the MTS, and the MTS is very clear that the money did, in fact, come in, right?
Yeah, so who paid it? I mean, yesterday...
I don't know. It looks like it got absorbed by somebody.
Well, yesterday Nissan...
hasn't shown up in my price.
Yesterday Nissan said, they're going up $2,000 a car, and somebody else went up $2,500 out of Japan.
Well, I've heard that... I hear these claims. I also heard people say, and I saw some of this, where lithium iron phosphate batteries, okay, which are very, very popular in RVs and things like this, allegedly very large increases that were going to be coming, okay? And by God, if you looked on Amazon, when these announcements were made, they tried to gouge it. And you know why I say gouge? Because 2 weeks later, they didn't sell it at that price. The price went back down.
Your host on Stacks and Jacks for... And I know you've been hearing this for a long time. For whatever reason, even if they were legit and not a bunch of liars like they have been in the last 20 years, even if they were legit, the CPI is, for whatever reason, months behind. And I don't know why. So the chance that this is showing up in their stuff today is zero. But I mean, I'm saying that the earliest we're going to really see some numbers, if they don't lie totally, will be probably a little bit August, maybe September.
Yeah, I am not.
Somebody paid the dough, and there's no way on earth that Japan and China ate it all. There's no way.
Oh, absolutely. Exactly.
Well, where's the rest?
Well, I do not know. But I'm just saying that. what I, you know, this thing that it was going to immediately spike inflation, da 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 da. It's not showing up anywhere that
wine,
I see it.
I'll bet wine is up, probably not the whole 10, but wine's probably up 8%. Comes from the stuff that's overseas, right? Now, well, maybe they took a hit on some of it, but how much can they take a hit on?
You know what? I just bought a bottle of Grey Goose, which is imported. That's from France. All right. And it hasn't gone up in price.
When did it get here?
Well, I don't know that when that particular bottle got here. Right, obviously, right? I mean, you know, it's not like the barcode has a date on it.
Yeah.
But I'm just, you know, I mean, liquor doesn't have a use by or, you know, born on, right? So I don't know. But
actually, beer does.
I know beer yeah. tends to, but booze tends not to. Do I have every reason to believe that impact is going to be? Well, of course I do, because duh. I mean, you know, it's a tax, right? But who's going to eat it is always the question.
Well, some of it is going to be eaten by the person in France because they're still competing against somebody here.
Right.
So some of it's going to be eaten. I did this for a final. Some of it's going to be eaten by that person because to the extent that they're going up against Tito's, which is made in Texas.
Right.
Okay, they're going to eat some of it, probably. Not for sure, but probably. The other point is, Tito's is going to say, wow, the guy we are now competing against, he's up a buck
a
bottle.
He's
going to raise his
price. Right.
So you don't really know where in the middle there you land. I'm going to say that instead of, say, it's $2 a bottle and the other stuff, I bet it goes up $1.25, and I'll bet the Tito's goes up 75 cents. Would be my assessment. Now, but that's what's so complicated, Carl. To look at one product is complicated. Look at the products we have. How many zillion are out there?
I know. I mean, I just see so many of these kinds of things that are like, okay, you know, the what we've all been told is going to be whatever has turned out not to be.
I've never once, as much as I can't stand some of the stuff this administration is doing, I've never once on this issue because like I said, I did a lot of work on it. I've never once said that the prices are going to go up like they say they're going to go up. If it's a 50 or 100% tariff, they just might not take anything from there because then they're going to try and find another way to get it here. Or like you were talking about a few weeks ago, it's going to be they're going to find a way where it originated somewhere else or something. But the only thing I will say is that somebody somewhere is paying a boatload of government to money to government, it's coming out of somebody's pocket. And every single... every single product that we're talking about probably has a different percentage coming out of the domestic, foreign, and your pocket. But the fact is, it's coming out of somebody's pocket.
Well, yeah, and you know, I mean, there you go. On the other hand, here's... You know, I've gotten into this with so many people, and CNBC... unwittingly has made one of my big arguments for me, and it's up on their page right now. You know, you've got the supposed big beautiful bill, right, that's pending. There's one of the things that they pointed out is, and I'll just give you the headline, healthcare cuts in GOP mega bill may add $22,800 in medical debt for some families. Alright, do you realize that what that headline actually says is healthcare changes in the GOP mega bill will mean that the $22,800 in medical expense for some families that they were able to shove up your butt, they now have to pay.
No.
Oh, you don't think so?
I think. You can't. We'll have to go bring Helen in a second. You can't be on both sides of this argument, Carl. You can't not, and Trump has no intention, none of the Republicans ever have, other than whining about Obamacare, they have no intention of fixing the stuff that you're always talking about and so on.
Chief, I'm not saying that.
So you can't, on the one hand, not fix any of the cost side of medicine, and on the other side, cut people's benefits. What are you doing to them?
Chief, excuse me, how do you think these problems actually ever get solved?
You don't solve by not paying the bills of the bottom 20% of your population. None of them can afford medical. I can go through the economics for you if you want me to. The people in the 20% lower class, they can't afford anything. All right, so that lowers the demand, which means it might lower the cost somewhere, but they're all dead. That's not where I want to go with this, and I don't think you do either.
Well, now hold on a minute. For how long does that situation persist?
It's lasted for how long?
It hasn't lasted for how long, because people on the other side of the argument have always said, you have a right to this, and you have a right to shove the cost up someone else's butt.
I tell you how long it's lasted. When I was born, it was a long friggin' time ago. My dad was a policeman. My mom went to Englewood Hospital. He wrote the check.
Yep.
It was no big deal.
You want to know something?
Okay, so no policeman now could possibly write the check for his wife going to Northwestern.
Do you know why? Because we made it possible for the policeman to make you pay his bill.
No, because the costs are too high.
And how did the prices?
Okay, but
it's like I pointed out with this.
We're on two different chessboards. The policeman can't pay it.
The policeman can't pay it because you made the cost five times it should be.
Okay, but the onus is not on him. He didn't do it.
Oh, yes, it is.
Why?
Because it's, as I pointed out with this twice-a-year HIV shot, it's priced at $30,000 a year. None of the people, but essentially none of the people who would benefit from it,
it was like $2,000 a week when it came out or some $1,500.
Well, no, this is a twice a year shot. This is a new one that was just approved. Okay, it's like 30.
Which is cheaper?
They priced it the same way as the other ones. Okay, go figure. And point being, the only reason that you can price something like that at $30,000 a year is because if I am one of the people who would benefit from it, I can shove the bill up somebody else's backside. If I couldn't do that, I couldn't buy it.
You die. Okay? You die.
Wait a minute. No, I wouldn't die. One of two things would happen. Either it wouldn't exist at all, in which case, I might die. Okay. Or if it can be produced and distributed for a more reasonable cost, that's what it will be priced
at. We can't do that because the drug company is shoving the money up the ass of everybody in Congress and Trump, and the policeman isn't because he can't.
All right. So basically what you're saying here is because we have a system that has become so corrupt, we have to keep doing it, even though it's bankrupting the country, and everyone's going to end up with nothing.
Okay, so my choice, who knows what it'll be next time? My choice this time was Harris or Trump. Where in there do I get to decide about the medical community? Where?
You don't, but you know what? You can cut it off and then let the market sort it out.
I'm not talking about we could. I'm saying what can I do? I can do nothing.
You could be Luigi.
I could show you. I won't get those stitches. I'll let myself bleed. I'll show you. I won't pay it. Or I could be happy I have insurance.
But I have
no other choice.
Okay.
Or not go, or hope I have insurance. What's my third choice?
You have no other choice. You don't have to actually take responsibility as a citizen, revolt and stop it.
I could put a huge bandage on it and get on a plane and go to Japan or Europe and Mexico and somebody will sew it up cheaper, but it's a long way if I'm bleeding.
Well, yeah, and there's plenty of times that just doesn't work because you'll die first, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's a little bit of a problem. Plus, they don't want my carcass on the plane, do they?
But, Chief, this goes absolutely to everything, okay? I have a friend of mine. He's saying, hey, wait a minute, what's this BS about $400 every 6 months to get my teeth cleaned?
Carl, you've done more than anybody I know with your coming on here, coming on any place you can with your stuff, and I'm with you the whole way. We both get up early and do this stuff. What progress have we made?
Well,
how much worse has it gotten since you and I have been talking about it on the show? Doesn't mean we should stop talking about it. I get that, but I mean I see no there's no chance we're ever going to have any progress in a Republican. The Democrats did a crummy job at Obamacare, but it's going to be here 50 years from now because nobody's going to change it.
Well, if we don't change it, the government's going to collapse,
and so is your access
to all of this stuff.
I'm with you.
So we can either revolt and make them change it, Or
why do you think
we're all going to get screwed? Every last one of us.
Well, that's why they're pouring more money in the system, and that's why.
Oh, and it's not going to work because it never does.
Show
me a country where that has worked.
You're arguing with somebody who agrees with you.
I know this, but I'm saying you're.
But I'm saying if you and I went on TV today, they'd laugh at us. What are you talking about? You said that 3 years ago,
Chief. What your argument comes down to is, I don't want to actually take personal risk. I don't want to do anything personally about this because it could be bad. It will probably end badly for me. And therefore, I'm going to go ahead and go along with screwing everybody.
I'm not going along with it.
Excuse me, you just said we can't cut anybody off because they might die.
What I'm saying is an individual person can't protest by not getting the service or he's dead.
That is okay. Well, you know what? You're right about that. So that's not how you protest. You protest in a more energetic way.
I could say, guess what? I'm not going to buy my health insurance, and I'm just going to make sure I work out every day and are in good shape and hope nothing bad happens. I could do that.
Yes.
God, I hope I don't do. Hope that whoever does that doesn't do it for his kids and his wife. May work for him, but it's not somebody somewhere is going to need somebody.
Okay, so here we are again. The fact that we have an unlawful cartel that steals $3 trillion a year.
Carol, I'm with you. I'm just saying, as an individual, what's your? I mean, if the price of booze goes up, right, to a ridiculous number, I can say, you know what, I don't need to drink. It's pretty hard for me to say I don't need to get a stitch.
But that's not. But see, that's the thing. It's the point that I was making last week. Okay, I really like my liquor, but I can buy cheap beer, and I can afford it. Now you let me bill you for my drinks, and all of a sudden I'm drinking top shelf scotch.
You're preaching to the choir. It's like buying people a drink. They all like the top shelf, don't they?
Isn't it funny how when you don't have to write the check?
Before we go to hell, well, hell, you can pile on whatever you want. We got sponsored by this little bar on Ogden Avenue, right? A place that had been there 100 years, right? Maybe more. That before the expressways, the Ogden Avenue was your way out of town. That or Route 66, depending on where you were going.
Yeah,
and all these old bars and motels and God knows what else was going on. Well, the bar had two, shall we say, easy on the eyes young ladies. That would wear brief shorts, and top shelf really was top shelf.
Yep.
So if you wanted a shot for up there, they had to kind of go up this little ladder.
You got a little bit of extra for free.
Yeah. I won't say for free; it was included.
Well, it was included in the price of the shot, right?
So. But when everybody says top shelf, I think of that bar. The people were so nice to us. Matter of fact, I stopped in there with Audrey, God, not that long ago. I said, you guys just sponsor our softball team, like years ago. We remember you guys. You guys were the best. What a nice little place, But that was the thing that they had going for them. But anyway, I don't think you were never allowed to wear pants, I don't think, if you were a lady. But anyway, that's another. Anyway, do we have Hal?
Yes, we do.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, you listen to this craziness?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Hey, I got the body is
it settles down. I don't know.
Hey, while I got the body is I was talking to a dude last night, and boy, it is right up your economic world and whatever world Carl and I are in. I was talking to a guy talking about Bitcoin, and he was saying, he says, you know, the second biggest business in the world, are I'm supposed to know this crap, and I said. I'm going to say probably oil is number one. He goes, yes, it's illegal drugs. Now, whether he's right or not, I don't know, but I'm sure it's up there someplace. He goes, they're using Bitcoin.
Yeah.
He goes, and now they're making more money on the Bitcoin holdings than they are on the drugs. And he goes, everybody is so involved in this, there's no way it can go down. And I said, well, except for the part that it might get it might get hacked someday. And by the way, at the end of the day, it's worth nothing. He goes, it's the same thing as, the tulip situation. As long as everybody supports it and bids it up every day, it'll never go down. And he goes, I've been trying to find how much actually was ever put into this versus the value. What's the value now? What, $2.5 trillion, something like that? And I said, I'll bet the amount people actually paid for all the Bitcoins in the world or for mining them probably is a tenth of that. It's like, you know, how many people actually put money into Apple at what price, and now where's the value? It's got to be. I mean, if Nvidia's worth what, $3 trillion or something, what do you suppose the cost of all the original public offerings and everything were? It's got to be way less than that. But his point was, it can never happen. And I said, I don't know about
that.
Well,
you can't say never, right?
But how much?
Never say never.
But I mean, how much? I mean, think about it. If we decided tomorrow to create another asset, which essentially is what they did with Bitcoin, and we're all of a sudden going to pick something, you know, pick a rare earth metal. I mean, Carl could probably find one for us. Pick a rare earth metal and say, man, there's only a certain amount of this stuff. By the way, we don't own any, or something. Maybe we own a little bit of it, and we're just going to start bidding up the price of this, and we're going to name it a stock. What about the thing I sent you guys?
Bitcoin's.
What about the thing I sent you guys?
First, Bitcoin's rise.
Well, go ahead. I'm saying
Bitcoin's.
It's essentially trading as an artificial stock now. It's nothing like a currency, even though it sort of acts like that. But that's not the value of it.
Bitcoin's rise has been the result of the responsible money printing that's been going on throughout the world. That's why it's risen.
I'm with you.
And people understand that.
Except,
and who better understand that than the Mexican drug cartel, whose sales are in Bitcoin.
Okay, but you can't, in my opinion, and I mean, obviously yours is different than mine. In my opinion, you can't say, because the fiat currencies, which, by the way, I was just bitching about, are worth less and less, compared to what they used to be on the gold standard or anything like that, that doesn't mean that something that has nothing behind it starts getting worth more and more. I refuse to make that jump. In other words, I think the dollar is worth a lot less, but there's still...
Remember, it's not governments or me or you that place value on something. It's the people, the individuals throughout the world are the people who place a value on something. And people, apparently, think Bitcoin. The people that own it think Bitcoin's a better money than what these governments are offering. So it's not government who gets to decide what money is. It's just people. What do people prefer to pay their transactions in? What do people prefer to hold?
Yep.
Well, they're preferring to hold Bitcoin, and the cartels are people, right? And they accept a lot of payments in Bitcoin, a lot of other currencies too. But you know.
Well, but
it's the governments. It's not members of the media. It's individuals.
Well, how do you?
They determine what money is.
Well, you know what you're doing, and I'd love Carl's opinion. Because I'm gonna try and take the Bitcoin thing and compare it to the Lakers purchase, because that's what I did for 20 years.
That's money. That's the result of money printing.
Well,
inflation.
All right, what I'm saying.
Federal Reserve is unleashed.
All I'm saying is that the Lakers, from what I researched, make $200 million last year. All right, so $10 billion. If you've got any kind of interest rate, say it's 6%. You're talking $600 million.
Yeah, it's crazy because the Federal Reserve is just irresponsible money printing.
What I'm saying is, in my opinion, it's incredibly overpriced at 10 because...
Yeah.
But those people's view of the world, that's kind of what I'm trying to get at. What is their view of the world that says in 7 or 8 years it's going to be making, you know, $1 billion a year, to where all of a sudden you're covering your interest?
The Federal Reserve is going to expand the money supply. Okay, that's their view of the world.
I'm with you on that. So the Lakers, in my opinion, are a bad buy, but if you and I are correct, and Carl, it may end up being an okay buy. But then you turn around to Bitcoin, and there's no income at all. So, I mean, you're really at the edge of... My point is, you're really at the edge of a plank with that. It's one thing to say you got a little bit of income, or you might have some income. And the other one, the only thing you're ever going to get is appreciation.
The investors don't care about the income, Carl. Tom, they don't care about the income.
No,
they care about the Federal Reserve printing money.
But Hal, so let's take another area that's ephemeral that's doing the same sort of thing, okay, in the market right now, and that is this whole AI craze. Okay, the premise is that there is value because people will replace human labor with computer labor, basically. Right? And that's the premise, is that we've got a better, faster, cheaper way to do this. Problem is, the premise is false. The amount of energy that's being consumed to power these things is obscene. It's being hidden It's to the point that it's actually driving problems with the pricing of electricity on the grid right now.
Definitely.
And by the way, that's not going to go away. It's going to get worse, okay? Because it takes, you know, a decade, two decades to build additional capacity. I mean, that's just the way it is. But the additional problem with this is what I pointed out a long time ago when this whole thing started and when it was invited to the conference and all this other stuff, which is that it's very artificial, it's not intelligent, and what I believed was going to happen is now starting to be evidenced in the facts, which is that the error rate is an exponential curve and is a function of complexity, all right? And there isn't anything you can do about that. And humans, I mean, we make plenty of mistakes as human beings with our brains all the time. But we have a feedback mechanism to short-circuit that. It's a conscience, and it's that little voice in the back of your head that says, this is BS, okay? And yeah. And you don't have facts to back up the fact that you believe it's BS, but you think it's BS. And yeah. And that is something that no machine has a way to emulate. And so there's no way to short-circuit that.
AI is just scraping the internet, and what's happened is, I think the Google AI bot, people are just, they're not even going to the stories anymore. They're just reading whatever Google summarizes
Google,
at the top
yeah.
of quote-unquote search, right?
Right.
And so that's reducing traffic, which is going to cause, you know, news aggregators to maybe put out fewer and fewer stories. So these AI machines are going to have less and less to consume. So
Well, Google also, I don't know if you heard about this, but Google, in addition, you know, they own YouTube. And they used their unlimited royalty-free license agreement that you give them when you upload something. They have now essentially stolen the intellectual property of everybody who puts stuff on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah.
And the problem with doing this kind of thing is that, you know, legally they can probably get away with it because it's the way the terms of service are written. However, the pushback.
Yeah, the federal government would just say, well, you can post your content somewhere else, right?
Well, but the thing is, what you can't do is force the guy that made content yesterday to make more tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right. So eventually, you run out. You get the chicken and egg problem where the guy who gets screwed by this says, "Up yours."
Yeah.
Right? I mean, one of the reasons that
so there's no such thing as a copyright thing that these guys, because I've asked you.
Well, there is, but the problem is, Chief, is that so far. Okay, now this is there is a copyright problem. Here's one of the things I brought up at this conference, is that under the law, assuming it's ever enforced, which, you know, we know how well that works in this country, right? But assuming it's enforced, if you register the copyright, if you actually, and it's not expensive, it's like $25 to file the registration. If you register the copyright, then infringements start at $100,000 a crack, and it's statutory damage.
Yeah, but how do you know they got it from you?
Well, all you have to do is how do you think they do it with songs? Okay, there's enough similarity that you obviously stole it. The thing is that if it's registered, the damages are so enormous for each infringement that I don't care if you're Google, you're out of business. Okay, I mean, it's enough to destroy any company. So, but thus far, nobody has brought those suits, and the government has not stepped in. And you know, and who knows if they ever will, but I pointed this out as a very real risk, because you know, when you start talking about statutory damages, you don't have to show actual economic harm anymore, and you're talking six figures per infringement. I don't care how big you are, you're dead.
All right, Carl. Last question for you, and then we'll let you go. And I'll argue with Hal for a while.
Right.
We'll discuss. how does when a schlump like me sees an article or Google something? All of a sudden, I get, you know, the Washington Post or the Tribune or they'll even send me stuff, like a headline, and I try and read the article, and they say, oh, no, you got to pay. How does AI just buy one membership to all these places? How do they get through to DePaul Law Library or something like that? How do they break through all the stuff that stops everybody else unless you're a member of DePaul Law Library? I mean, how do they do that?
Well, there's a bunch of not cool things that are going on there, and part of it is that the paywalls do indeed stop a lot of it. Okay, one of the reasons that I put the system back on the way that I have it is that all my video content is now on my own server, and the only way you can, the outside robots can't get at it. So it's not on Rumble anymore. It's not, I took all the stuff off Rumble, for example, for exactly this reason. So if you want to, you want to watch it, you have to be a subscriber and you have to be signed on, and the robots get a big middle finger when they come try to scrape the site.
I think the way,
here's the thing. That's going to end up being what happens. I mean, I'm pretty far in front of a lot of this simply because I am a coder and I can do it on my own. The average schlub who's producing content is putting a stuff on YouTube or on Rumble or wherever because they don't have the expertise and the capacity to do it on their own. But that's going to shift, and this is one of the reasons I didn't go over to Substack, is that I saw the same problem happening there, and I had no control over it happening. So I had to have it on my own infrastructure and my own computers where I can control it.
All right, well,
people who are...
We'll continue this Friday, Carl. Thank you.
Yep, no worries.
Go ahead, Carl.
Tom, I think one way to defeat that, or the one way on that, is you have people that are uploading files, like PDFs, from a secure library, a secure digital library. People who have subscription... They download a PDF and they upload it to Grok and they have Grok analyze it. So that's one way these AI models are able to get content that is blocked by a firewall. Because people can upload files. You can upload all kinds of files. You know, you can upload Word documents. You can upload.
Now, when you say upload, when you say people, I don't know how to do that stuff. But
yeah, if you open up Grok and you log into it, there's a plus button prompt.
What is,
and that first, allows
let's start
you to
from
upload
what is,
files.
What is Grok?
Grok is Elon Musk, his model. It's actually embedded in X now. But okay. Yeah, if you open up Grok or ChatGPT, there's a plus button for the prompt, and you can upload files. So if you download, if a person, an individual has a subscription to a New York Times article, they can print the article as a PDF, and they can upload it to Grok, and they can just say, hey, summarize this article.
Or they can steal it from somebody else. Okay, I get it. Well, you know, the reason why
that's how these models are kind of being trained.
I'm not as much of a Luddite as everybody probably thinks I have when I don't know anything about this stuff. The reason why I don't is because the industry we're in is so incredibly regulated. I don't have a Facebook account. I don't have any of that stuff because if I ever said anything in there, it would be considered communications to customers, even though everybody else can say whatever they damn well please all over the place. And nobody's ever looking at them. They're always, you know, the auditors took 20 hours of our shows, and we're going to listen to them.
Well, you know, I face the same kind of scenario. You know, being a libertarian with personal views that are very conservative, you know, religious or whatnot.
Yep.
On a college campus, I feel like I have to filter myself. My colleagues in Utah who are very conservative, the office, you know. A lot of them would cry and talk very softly because they didn't want their opinions to be circulated on a campus that was 98-99% very progressive.
But you don't have
maybe
a
Marxist socialist.
You don't have a compliance officer like I do. And so if I got in trouble,
don't. But if views are not balanced enough, and a student makes a comment in a student evaluation, they're going to find that comment and say, "Hey, you need to balance your views." Whereas my colleagues who are in the herd, the 99% herd, they can pretty much say whatever they want because they have the protection of the herd. So,
I'm with you.
You know, if you're a conservative or a libertarian on a college campus, you have to walk on eggshells. You have to, otherwise you're not going to be around very long.
Well, it's funny that the people that, since Trump thinks everybody in the federal government works for him personally. It's funny that he actually has people that run around trying to worry about what I say, and nobody worries about what he says. You never want to be regulated yourself, do you? It's always regulation is always good
for
the other guy.
He's by being unregulated, right? By being unfiltered, he's gotten elected. That's one reason why people like him. That's why my brothers love him. That's why a lot of people in Idaho that I know personally love him, because he says what he thinks, and they love that about him. He comes off as very authentic, and that's one of his appeals. Like a lot of these politicians, you know, they you know, it depends on what is, you know, they really parse things out, and they words, and you know, then they're all reading the script. I mean, they're like the teleprompter readers in the news, you know, you know, that's one thing I think people like about your show is it's all in a script.
Well,
we don't
yeah.
know what's gonna be talked about on a given day.
Well, that's because
that's what people like about it.
That's because when the auditors come in and ask me what we talk about, I said it's unscripted. That is the word. What do you mean?
Unscripted. I always tell people I have no idea what you're gonna ask about.
They've demanded my notes for the show. I said, demand all you want, I don't have any. How do you do a show without
notes?
And the guy goes, how do you have a show without notes? I said I realized what happened yesterday. I remember it. I kick up the news in the morning. I see a couple of topics that the different people I have on. That's their bailiwick, and we go. And from there, wherever it takes us.
Well, I tell people who tell me they listen to the show, they like it, and I tell them that the reason why you do it, I think, I mean, I've never asked you this question, but I think the reason why you do the show is because maybe you want to, like, have ideas bounced around to get a feel for where you think the market's going to go.
Absolutely.
You know, maybe you're trying to set up your trades for a given day, you know?
I learned, you want
different opinions from different corners of the United States.
I've learned more from the people on the show than I did in grad school, for God's sake. And the interesting part is everything depends on everything else. And it's amazing, even though it seems like a lot of people here have different opinions on a lot of stuff, how much they all sort of come together when you think about it.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's...
Well, that's what an average does, right? The average, yeah. You know, an average through time, a time trend, is that same process, right?
Well,
around the average. That's why they call it regression.
I've even mentioned to a few people that two of the most off, you know, two politicians that I think are totally unwound, one is the president and one is the mayor of Chicago. They're on totally ends of the spectrum, and when you listen to them, they're the exact same person. It's an ounce of loyalty is worth a pound of talent. I got everything. I know everything. Just bring it to me, and I got the answer for you right now without any research whatsoever. And I don't think anything through. If I feel like doing it, I'm doing it. And like what your brother's like. Yeah. If I want to call somebody stupid, I call them stupid. Yet in my family, you could never use that term. You know, it's you know. But this isn't a TV show. You know, this isn't, you know, watching him on You're Fired. This is, you don't call people from other countries stupid. In my opinion, no matter how good you might be at some stuff, and he has a good read of a lot of things, that's not my style. The mayor here is the same way. The people around him all think the same way. He is not intelligent enough, it appears, to have people around him that can have different points of views and him still control the room. Same way with Trump. And I find that very disheartening in somebody in that kind of position.
Yeah. Trump is the source of his political power. People that vote for him love it.
It's a source of his political power. A lot of people like to see people insulted. You know, he has made, in my opinion, it okay for people to hate and to say bad things about people again. For a long time, he weren't supposed to do that. Yeah. Now it's okay because he does.
Yeah.
I have a problem with that. How do you train your kids not to call people stupid when the president's doing it? I mean, how do you do?
Well,
that?
My wife and I train our kids by filtering their language through church services that we attend and the things that we do as a family. So we have there's no photos of presidents on the walls.
I understand
of our house,
it, but how do your brothers that love the guy teach their kids not to call people stupid when he calls the Federal Reserve Chairman stupid?
Yeah, I used to live in Rod's house when I was in graduate school.
Yeah.
I would come home on the weekend because I would sleep on the floor of my office in graduate school, and because I found a shower on floor zero of the office building that I had my graduate school office in. I found a shower there, so I would sleep on the floor of my office, take a shower at 5 o'clock in the morning before the janitors got there because I was working on my dissertation. But on the weekend, I'd go to Rod's house, and his kids would, when they were little, they would sneak up to me on the floor with a blanket over my head. And they would go, is that Uncle Rod or Hal or is that Dad? And I thought, well, Rod must have gotten in trouble a lot.
Well, let's go to break. SP Futures up 43, NASDAQ Futures up 216. We're up here high. We were up a little higher. But still, we've got oil down, gold down, market up like we did yesterday and today. Oil, nobody thought it was that great of a sale last week. I put a little something in to the upside. Thankfully, it was very little something, just in case. And it didn't work out, but I'd rather have a little spread that doesn't work than be in a war. You know? I mean, I don't really want to make that change.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll be right back. Stocks and Jocks.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back, Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tim Howe. Ricky on the board. SP futures up 44. NASDAQ futures up 220. We've got everything in individual stocks. I only got one down in the Dow, and that's Chevron Texaco, which was way up, and now it's down because obviously oil prices are going down. So that's we have just this morning. This is how crazy this is. Market was up to the moon because Trump announced a ceasefire. Couldn't have been 10 minutes later. It was Israel and Iran are not holding up to the ceasefire, and then all of a sudden, yeah, they are. This is in the last hour. This is what's going on here with the market. Dow futures up 268 over in Europe. They were up huge a little while ago. Let's see if they're still that far up. My machine, so I got so much on here. Powell emphasizes Fed's obligation to prevent ongoing inflation problem despite Trump's criticism. So he keeps calling the Fed guy an idiot. Even though the Fed guy is increasing the bunny supply dramatically, which is exactly what Trump wants him to do, and he's still criticizing the guy. It's pretty amazing. Ricky, why don't you do traffic, weather, sports, because my machine is gagging here with everything I have up there.
Absolutely. Good morning, Chief. It's currently 7:36 a.m. here in beautiful Chicago. We're looking at 79 degrees right now with a high of 88, partly sunny and warm. A heavy thunderstorm this afternoon, which can bring localized damaging wind gusts. Tonight, humid with a stray thunderstorm with a low of 67 degrees. Phoenix, Arizona, 78 degrees right now with a high of 104. Plenty of sunshine through the day. Tonight will be remaining clear with a low of 76. Traffic in Chicago, Iman Kennedy from Monroe is 44 minutes. We're looking at 62 minutes. Iman Edens from Lane Cook. Iman Eisenhower from Wolf, 49 minutes. Inbound Dan Ryan from 95th, 24 minutes. And lastly, inbound Stevenson from 294 to the Dan Ryan, 32 minutes. Let's talk about sports real quick. NBA Finals, we already know about the NBA Finals. Thunder win the finals against Pacers, 103-91. Yesterday, we got Diamondbacks beating White Sox 10-0 and Cubs losing to Cardinals 2-8. And today, we have back-to-back games. Diamondbacks at White Sox, 6:40 p.m. and Cubs at Cardinals at 6:45 p.m. Back over to you guys, Chief.
The DAX up 429. It's 1.8%. They're leading the charge. FTSE only up 0.4%, 35 points. CAC around kind of in the middle, up 93, 1.2%. So everybody loves everything in Asia. Nikkei up 436, 1.1. Hang Seng up 47. That's a full 2%. Shanghai up 38, 1.1. Now, those guys were not able to run up yesterday, so it's kind of a two-day deal on them. Bonds up 2 basis points, 4.35. We've got oil, again, 65.82, down 269. It topped at 77, I think, last Tuesday morning. It's a wow. You'd have sold those, you'd have been doing well. But to sell them there, boy, you had to be a courageous person. Oil, for gold now down $66. Nobody wants to see gold now either. 3,328. And we've got crypto up 2,000. We like crypto, though, at 105,096. And the dollar is kind of getting hammered a little bit. The pound is now 16, or the euro dollar is 116, and the pound's 136. So not sure how that matches up with the rest of this stuff, but that's where it all is. Hell, it's a it's kind of a all the stuff we're talking about is somewhat interesting, and I don't the pricing where some of this stuff is going with the in the medical community. If you look at that and you look at the inability, really, I don't even know if a true 1%er could afford his own hospital bills. And I joust with Carl regarding people wouldn't be able to demand that if it wasn't being paid by everybody collectively. And it obviously has been the biggest problem in the system is that, because it's paid for by work or by other stuff, people can demand stuff they could never afford on their own. But then the question is, the price is so damn high. I mean, why would it be, $3,000 to go in and get four stitches in your finger? I don't know how you know, the administration seems to not want to do anything against the cost piece, even though he said that during the campaign. We haven't heard anything about that. Yet now we're going to try and, you know, cut Medicaid payments and things like that. How, I don't know how you do both, other than just saying we're not going to treat people. I mean, the idea of cutting some of the Medicaid payments, and you know, some of those ideas aren't all that bad, but when you look at the two together, I don't see how they match, do you?
Well, I think if we could get a handle on the chronic diseases.
If.
Poor diets and more exercise.
Okay.
Well, that would
be. We're not going there. What does that mean? I mean, it's like saying the problem with having 50,000 murders in the country, which we don't have, is lack of second grade education. Okay, I mean, where do you go with that? That's no it might be a solution, I mean, but nothing you can do tomorrow.
But what, roughly one half of all healthcare expenditures in the United States is due to chronic diseases. I've seen it as high as 80%. So if we can get rid of all these artificial ingredients, I mean, I've read something where the seed oils were actually invented by Rockefeller to be lubricants for machinery. I've seen that. I've read that.
Yeah, you can use
I'm not
them.
Sure
you
if it's true,
you can use them
but
for,
I read it, right?
You can use them for running a tractor.
You can use them for lubricants,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we have all artificial ingredients. Think in Europe, they have like 400 ingredients to our like 10,000. I've seen that number before. Artificial ingredients. If we can purify the food supply, and part of that is destroying and the food monopoly is controlled in large part by a cigarette company who took its scientist off of maximizing the power of cigarettes and put it on food to make the food very addictive. We can purify our food and we can get under control.
Yeah, hell,
the demand for healthcare will drop.
Hell, we've got a lady who's been on the show a couple times, a friend. She does a lot of work for Fisher House, so she's intimately involved with what goes on in these veterans' homes. All right, so we can. Yeah. In the veterans' home here in Illinois, at Maywood, what the hell's the name of the place? Hines? I think it might be Hines. They pick up all the cancer treatments in the Midwest, and they're big on prosthetics. I guess if you got burns, you go to San Antonio. But they're all of the kind of their specialty. And she says the amount of cancer treatments they're giving to people who are in Vietnam is, you know, way above normal. And now, okay,
yeah,
I'm with you that if a seed oil is not good, we should stop eating it. But how exactly is that tomorrow a solution for people we've already screwed? You know, I mean,
I know what I'm saying. Is
the fact is, the cancer treatment, the cancer treatment's $5,000 a pop, and it should be two or one or 500. That, right now, that's the problem, in my opinion. All these other problems, I'm with you. You know, I'm with you on this, all this stuff. You're not going to get me to disagree that we shouldn't be eating poison stuff. I mean, I'm not going to say, God, hell's wrong on that. No, you know, I'm not going to do that. But what I'm saying, we have to. Yeah. The problem today is, Kenny Pulcheri has told us on the air. And I think he's pretty much clean now, which is great. He's taking that new, the one treatment where you take the one that talks your body into killing the cancer, and then the other one is kind of a low-grade chemo. I don't know the whole story. I think, well, Kenny said on here, it's $40,000 a pop. I'm going to say it should be $1,000 a pop if there wasn't some kind of monopoly patent involved in the thing, and I'll bet it costs them $50 a pop. That's the problem. You know, and I don't know how you get there from here. I mean,
the problem is the government monopolizing various industries through rules and regulations and licensing. That's the problem. And, you know, one good news, we were talking about AI with Carl earlier. I read an article where rollback and restrictions and energy restrictions is allowing New York State to build nuclear power plants. It'd be really great if they built a nuclear power.
There is not one under construction right now, and at the soonest we're going to get one is, I don't even think there's a patent or there's a permit for one right now.
Well, New York was the governor of New York was put out an article that I read a couple days ago about how they're going to start building nuclear power plants. So
okay, I'm 100% with you.
The key here is removing the restrictions that government put in place that creates these monopolies.
And
that's true for energy. That's true for food. That's true for pharmaceutical. That's true for hospitals. We have to get rid of these restrictions. We have to get rid of patent laws. We have to get rid of patent laws. People will say, if you get rid of patent laws, there won't be any drugs. That is not right, because there are people out there, people who do medical research, who do it for the love of it, because they want to help their fellow human survive sickness. So the drug, the prescription drugs will still be researched because of the goodness of people's in people's hearts. They'll do it. So they're all an excuse. So the pharmaceutical industry can restrict supply and drive prices up demand curves. So we have to eliminate these restrictions and licensing procedures.
I would say
that's how you solve it.
Why, when this is a, well, I mean, you've listened to the show enough that one of my ongoing themes, by far one of, if you were top two or three themes of mine, is the how patent laws have been. Let me put it to you this way: if you go out to a bunch of people tonight, you got eight people sitting there, everybody sucking down a hard one, and you say, "Boy, I think we should blow the shit out of patent laws," everybody there is going to say, "What is the matter with you, Professor? You're saying that somebody who does the work and on Saturday when everybody else is playing golf and drinking beer, he's working on something in his garage and he comes up with something that's unique, he shouldn't get some kind of protection from that?" You couldn't get anybody to agree with you. Yet, I would say that if you looked at the entire history of the patent laws and how people have been stealing them from each other and how people have managed to stockpile all kinds of them, we're talking hundreds of thousands of them. Anytime anybody puts something,
there are law firms that use the law.
Yeah.
There are law firms that use the law to buy up old patents, and they use those old patents to enforce.
Well,
they use law.
They stop. They stop you from doing what you're going to do, saying that somebody else's old patent. My point is, I'm trying to agree with you here. It's hard to do for my guests, but what I'm saying is, the theory of it, nobody will disagree with. The practice of it, you and I are absolutely on the same page.
Yeah.
Do you
guess where we get the arguments in favor of patents? We get it from the people who benefit from these government permissions.
Well, you would think
who benefit from
if
telling people, hey, we need patents, otherwise we won't have any research and development. All research and development will cease. That is crazy to say that.
It's total BS, obviously, when they say that.
Yeah.
Because what is the economic if there were no patents? I actually remember this lecture. I can help you out if you wanted me to ever give it one day. If somebody decides to invent something, and pulling out of my behind, I'll say the hula hoop. Now that they probably had a patent, but I'm not sure they did. So you put it out there, you put it on the market, right? And you've researched it. The hula hoop's pretty simple, so somebody could probably grab one. And so if it costs you $2 to make, you could put it on the market for 10. And if it became an instant success, you're going to make $8 pretty darn fast, and everybody else is going to go, hey, these two idiots are putting something out there for $10 and anybody can make for $2. We're going to duplicate what they're doing, and we're going to put it out there for $6, which is still pretty egregious, but we're going to do that. And now, why do people benefit? Because there's, no matter how fast somebody can close the gap to you, they can't close it instantly. So there's always going to be a return on that kind of stuff. Now, if we're real smart, we might say, and not greedy, we might say, you know what? We're going to price this at $450, where we're still going to make a decent amount of scratch, but we're not going to incent somebody to build their own building and say we're going to build a building just because he's getting 10. Four and a half, we don't even really care. You might not price it so high in the first place to where you essentially... If you and I open up a hamburger stand in a town that's growing, and we give everybody hamburgers at a good price, nobody's going to say, "Oh, those two guys are charging $15 because there's nobody else around. I'm going to go in and charge $8." If we're charging $6 for a nice hamburger, the guy's going to say, "God love him. I wish I'd have got there first, but there's not room. There's no edge there for me." But there always is an edge from being first, right? You don't need 17 years, for God's sake. Yeah. I mean,
I talked to the I talked to the CEO of Vivint Home Smart in Utah. He came and spoke at a Westminster MBA Power Lunch series, and I asked him this question. I go, what's the best way for a startup entrepreneur with a great idea? What's the best pricing strategy? And he basically confirmed what I thought, just what you said. Keep the low to keep the wolves out. If you keep it low, keep it modest, don't show off, don't buy a brand new car, don't buy a brand new house, keep the price low so you don't invite competitors. Once you start inviting, once you raise the price up, that raising the price is a short-term game. The long game is to keep the price low to keep the competitors out. So if people know, I mean, entrepreneurs are really smart, especially the ones that are successful. They have a pretty good idea of what your cost structure is. And so when they go to Walmart and they see your product being priced at $2, they're kind of thinking, well, that thing probably costs $1.50 to make. They're going to go, I'm not going to jump in that market. But if you're charging $20 and they know that your product is only costing them $1 per unit, that's going to invite competition.
Oh, they're there.
So yeah, he confirmed what you just said, and he confirmed what I thought at the time.
Well, the issue with some of the medical stuff is you'd also have other people paying for it. But that's still not really the issue is
you have a third party payer.
But yeah, but if you look at, I actually was I wasn't going to get any for it, but I had some people that were looking for an investor, and it turns out I knew the family, place, blah blah blah. So I found somebody to take a look at it. Again, strictly as a friend, not as anything else. But and it turns out, the family problems were so much that nobody wanted to put any money in there. But they had an amazing machine. I won't say what it was because people could figure out what they were, but it was essentially was a machine that did testing of liquids. Coast Guard wanted it, everybody else wanted it. And I said, do you guys have a patent? They looked at me like I had four heads. Why would anybody do that? You send it to the patent office, you got nothing but people looking at everything going in there, and somebody's going to say, we have a patent close to it. People are going to steal it. He goes, they're going to steal it, or they're going to start doing something, or say it's not ours, or sue us, or something. Because the fact is, nobody else has got anything like it. But, maybe there's, it doesn't stop somebody from saying, I got four patents on the shelf that I've never used. Now, the fact that you've never used it after 3 or 4 years, it's like a copyright. But it's not like a copyright. Mm-hmm. And Stocks and Jacks is a copyright, or a trademark. So is the protected index program that we have at PTI Securities. It's a trademark. But if I ever stop using Stocks and Jacks for a year or two, it's fair game. I don't know what the actual number is. But now, if patent, you can just not use it. And if anybody else uses it, then you can sue them. Well, what the hell is that all about? If you're not using it, what do you need it for? I'm not a patent attorney, but I've been down this road with a couple of clients a few times, and it's all muddled. No, you can. And you look at, what was the biggest case ever? It was a Brown camera, right? The Instamatic, Kodak Instamatic. That wasn't Kodak's, it was Brownie's, right? Brown Camera Company. Mm. And they stole it. Brown Camera Company sued them. After however many years in legal cases, Brown Camera Company was flat on its ass, and Kodak bought them. Well, then the ruling came down, and Brown Camera Company won, but there was no Brown Camera Company. They were part of Kodak. Do you think Alexander Graham Bell really invented the telephone? I'm thinking no.
Yeah. Related to this is Amazon. Amazon treats my wife really well. Why? Because it's 6 times more expensive to find a new customer than it is to keep your current customers. And this ties into what we're talking about. The reason why you have all these brand names floating around, like Ironwood and Palm Olive, is because they were started by a small company, and those small companies have very loyal customers. So what happens is, if you create a really awesome product and you don't price it too high to invite competitors, you build trust with your customers, your company is wanting, they don't want to create a substitute product. A big company wants to buy your company to acquire your customers. And that's why mergers, for the most part, happen, is because it's about customer acquisition. They want to buy your customers because they know that it's 6 times more expensive to find new customers than it is to keep your old customers. And that's why Amazon really values my wife, because she's a really good Amazon customer. She's not going anywhere. She loves people well, and Amazon treats her well because they don't want to lose her.
Well, all your food brands, how many times have most of them been bought and sold by big conglomerates? Oh, we don't like this one, somebody else will buy. I mean, you go down the aisle, I mean...
Now, notice when a big conglomerate company buys a small food product, they change the name of the company. They just adopt the name of the company as the brand name for that product, right? It becomes a brand name, and now they got to manage the brand.
Well, yeah.
You know, they purchase a small company, they never change the name of the product.
No, because that takes. But even the kind of somebody sent in a question. It was one of the big food companies, and I went through the thing. God's sake, they got every name in the world. They've got the Philadelphia cream cheese. They got these kind of chips. Yeah. They must have 50 brands, and you don't want to lose any one of those brands, because when you go and buy Philadelphia cream cheese, you go, oh, God, this thing's been around since I was a kid. It's always been good. The quality's good. You don't even know who makes the damn stuff. And don't care. Maybe it's Philadelphia cream cheese.
The funny thing is, going to Walmart, I can either buy the Rice Krispies, right? Or I can buy Rice Krisp, the Walmart brand. I get the Mega Box in North Carolina. The Mega Box, my kids love Rice Krispies. And I don't mind Rice Krispies because it's mostly air. And so they pretty much eating air with milk. So I buy the Rice Krisp, which are, you know, I can get a box, the mega size, for $3.50. If I buy the branded one, Rice Krispies, I got to pay $6 for that mega size. And my kids are different. Although Wes, one of the triplets, he's pretty obsessed with logos. He'll have my wife print off company logos left and right, and he'll cut the logos up. And he didn't want to eat the Walmart brand of Rice Krispies called Rice Krisp. He didn't want to eat it because it wasn't the brand. The kids didn't care, right? So that's one of the problems, is you have to overcome that.
I could see you being a guy having
an old... way you overcome that as a big company is you buy the brand, you buy the company.
I would think a guy like you, who likes to pinch a penny once in a while, would have one box of Rice Krispies from about 10 years ago, and when you get the Walmart one, you keep filling the other one up. I could see you doing something like
that. I did. Tom, I actually did that because Wes didn't want to eat the Rice Krisp in the light blue box. He wanted to eat the Rice Krispies. So what I did is I just poured the Rice Krisps in the Rice Krispie box. I took the bag out and put it in the Rice Krispie box. And then when he poured the cereal into his bowl, he ate it. And I go, do you like that? And he goes, yeah. And I go, well, Wes, that's Rice Krisp, not Rice Krispies. And at that point, he was like, okay.
You remember the movie?
I did use that strategy on him, but I only had to use it once, and only on him.
Remember the movie The Color of Money with Paul Newman when he came back?
Yeah. Great movie.
When he came back with the Eddie Felsen role.
Yeah, Tom Cruise. You know, that is one of my favorite Tom Cruise roles, and... he doesn't get any credit for being a great actor, but
he did well in that movie. He was good, and Paul Newman's always good, obviously. But he was the boost.
Yeah, Paul Newman's character got out hustled by this young cocky kid.
Well, it turns out he did. You never found out who won. The movie ended when they were playing.
Yeah.
But Paul Newman was
pretty
good.
But you know, I'm thinking that Tom Cruise did the hustling on him, and I'm pretty sure Paul Newman's character figured he got hustled.
Well, the movie ended when they were playing each other for real, for keeps.
Yeah, yeah.
And and it was a toss-up.
It was like the Rocky ending, Rocky III ending with Paul Creed and Sylvester Stallone punching each other.
But Paul Newman was, if you ever heard the first movie, The Hustler, which was one of the greatest. I can't watch it anymore because it's such a dark movie. Yeah. People die in it and stuff. But I mean, the four roles were Newman, Jackie Gleason, which was spectacular. George C. Scott.
Yeah, Jackie was.
Was there ever a bigger creep than George C. Scott? And then who was was it Piper Laurie? Was the lady who committed suicide?
Yeah, George C. Scott just gives me an image of cottage cheese on his back kind of thing. You know,
He was the worst creature that ever walked. But in The Color of Money, he was talking about, he was a liquor salesman, right? And who was the lady? The same lady who was in The Sting with him. Was on the pool hall.
Yeah. Well, it was a sequel, right?
No. Well, to The Hustler, yeah. But years and years later, because he didn't give George C. Scott his share, he couldn't be in any other pool halls, but he was the best player.
Yeah.
But anyway, he says there were they got some new booze out. It was like, if you like Canadian Club or Crown Royal, you know, Canadian whiskey, he said, well, you buy that, I'll give you this price, and by the way, I'll sell you, there's also a cheaper Canadian whiskey, like Canadian Mist or something like that. You essentially pour a quarter of that into three quarters of the bottle of Canadian Club, I challenge anybody to know, or Crown Royal, right? No, yeah. Nobody. So
yeah.
That's essentially what I was saying you should do with your kid.
I actually did it. Yeah. I was going to tell Wes, look, Wes, you can't know until you at least try it. So once you try it, let me know what you think.
Well, you have
give
a,
it a shot.
We got like a minute. What? I'm still hoping yesterday that our strike is a one and done. But I think Iran was tiring out anyway, and I think Israel is as well. If
I don't think Iran's got much left. I think what the mullahs are doing now is just showing the people that, hey, we're still in charge. That's all they're doing. It's just a big show.
So if
they got nothing left.
If Trump can be the catalyst to make this end, I don't like the idea that we got ourselves involved, because if it doesn't, you know, who knows where that'll go. But if it works.
Well, those bombs. Did you see the holes poke? I mean, I am opposed to war, but did you see? I got to appreciate
no
the
doubt.
Technology.
Yeah, but there's no doubt we have
you
stuff.
See the holes?
The question is.
In the earth?
I mean, if we think we stopped their entire ability to do anything nuclear, we're out of our mind. I mean, there's no way we did that. But the point is, did we say this is now not your time? And it might be 100 years from now they try it again, Iran. But did we? I'm hoping we did, because there's history to that. Israel did it twice. They kind of did some retaliation, and then okay, we got nothing left, and we'll hang around a while. If it puts this 10 years out, maybe it'll be a regime change. If Trump was able to pull that off,
well,
my hat's
Iran
off
has
him.
No friends. Iran, I don't think Iran.
Oh,
has
they got
any
all kinds of friends
with
China, Russia, North Korea,
and China wants its oil.
Yeah,
and China gets about what, a third, a fourth.
Iran puts 1.5
from the.
Well, they put 1.5 million gallons a day through the Strait of Hormuz. I'm going to say
they don't
two thirds
that
of that
shut down.
Two thirds of three quarters probably goes to China, North Korea. Would be my guess.
Yeah.
India's buying their stuff. India's still buying their stuff. Yeah. They're not exactly our best ally. But anyway, if this closes the thing up, where does that put the market? Going to 9 million again, put money in the market, even though we're bitching at the Federal Reserve?
Crude oil prices are headed down. I think they're going to stay down. I think.
But that sort of doesn't matter if the money.
I think the Middle Eastern countries, other than Iran, are trying to keep oil prices low to make it difficult for Putin.
I think they like Trump. We got
to
go, but we're having the money supply coming out today. If it's a crazy number, I might call you back on for 15
I've been monitoring
minutes.
It.
Would you come back on for 15 minutes to talk about it if it gets crazy this week somewhere?
Tomorrow.
All right. Well, I'll take a look. All right, but SP Futures up 42, NASDAQ Futures up 211. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks. Nice job, Ricky.
That's all, folks.